Thanks very much, Paul. It's great to be here, here at North Porirua, and thank you very much. Can we turn to Matthew chapter 5? If you've got a Bible in front of you, I don't know, do you have Bibles in front of you, or if you've got one on your phone, or whatever you may have, turn with me to Matthew 5 and the Sermon on the Mount. Just grab my specs for this little bit, and I'm at verse number 21, Matthew 5 and verse 21. And Jesus said this, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, please leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery,' but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, 'Anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce.' But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oaths, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, 'Eye for eye and tooth for tooth,' but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for these words that come from Jesus. And I pray today, Lord, that you would give us a spirit of revelation. You would speak to us through our hearts, our minds, our spirits. I pray for those that are new to church, that they might hear of your heart and your love for them. And I pray for those that have been here for a long, long time. And Lord, I pray you'd give them a spirit of revelation, a new revelation. And today, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord and Saviour. Amen. Well, thank you, Paul, for that very nice welcome. It's great to be here. In this wonderful church, and great to have the opportunity to speak to you today and bring what I felt God wanted me to say. And I spoke this word last week at Masterton Baptist, and so it's good to have this opportunity to speak to you guys on this. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus comes and he goes and he gets up on a mountain. And he sits down and he begins to preach. And sitting down is the teacher ready to teach. In the Jewish era of the time, you sat down when you're ready to teach. And his followers, his disciples, came in their droves, and they sat down too on that mountain, ready to hear from Jesus. Because they wanted something different. They wanted revelation. They wanted to hear with authority. They wanted to hear from God. They wanted something different from what they'd heard from the tax collectors, from the Pharisees, from others, from the teachers of the law. And Jesus taught with such authority that many followed him. And his teaching was simple in some ways. He said, "You have heard it said. You have heard it said this, but I say that." So you've heard it said from the Pharisees, from the teachers of law, the law, this, but I say this. So Jesus was claiming for himself the right to interpret Scripture. And he's also saying to them, you have had some wrong interpretations. So I'm going to give you the real oil. I'm going to give you what you need to hear from God. So what does he say? What does he say? He says, be reconciled to your brother or your sister. Go that extra mile to be reconciled to them. He says, stay with the one you are married to. He says, treat other women well and with respect and don't ogle them. How important marriage is to Jesus. Like if you look at the Ten Commandments, there are Ten Commandments, right? And God only gave Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai to Moses, four of them about God, and six of them are about our relationships with each other. And commandment number seven is do not commit adultery. And so Jesus expands on that and really gives a very strong word about adultery. The importance of marriage. Marriage is a universal human institution that's created by God through all nations, all societies, all time. Marriage has been. So marriage is important. There are many here that are married. I guess some that will want to be married at some point, and that's all good. So he says, divorce is a sin. Now, it's not the unforgivable sin. So if you're a divorced person, we do what we need to do is go to Jesus and repent and say, I'm sorry, Lord, and receive that forgiveness on the cross, which we all have to do for whatever sins we've had. But he says how important marriage is, that marriage is really important, that don't commit adultery, and he has the highest kind of words about that. And so when we look at what scriptures say about marriage, when we go, say, to Ephesians 5, it talks about wives. It talks about wives needing to respect their husbands, for example. So if you're married and you're a wife, do you respect your husband? Does your husband know that you respect him? Do you respect his leadership? Do you respect his abilities? Do you affirm him? Be honest now. Catch him doing something right. Catch him doing something and affirm him. If you're not married yet, young woman and you're not married yet, I see there's some around here today. Find a man who is respectable. Find a man who is respectable. So find a man whom you are able to respect. Got to find someone you're able to respect. And you might say, well, Scotty, that's what about men? What are they got to do? Well, says that most chilling of sentences in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What does that mean? Means husband loves your wives. Keep loving your wife. Now, in the beginning, you know, we meet this pretty girl. My wife's Liz, very good-looking woman. Easy to love. But now, you know, we've been together 32 years. You know what I mean? But Jesus is saying, maybe you don't know, but Jesus is saying, continue to love your wife. Continue to love your wife. And as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, continue to love your wife sacrificially. It's not about, it's about what's best for the family. It's about what's best for the children. It's love your wife sacrificially. My wife's about
I don't know, 5'5", she's slim, not a very big person. And she likes people to like her, and she has a very happy, outgoing disposition. But she, I see my job as looking after her, protecting her. I do. Because I'm large, and if they're going to hurt my wife and my children, you've got to go through me. I do. I do. I feel as my duty as a husband, as a Christian, and as a man to look after my wife and children. I just do. Now, my children are now grown up, so the youngest is 20, so you know what I mean? And he's a young man, and you know, he's got to start looking after himself now. But you know what I mean? You do. It's my duty to interpose myself between my wife and my children and any danger and any threat. That's my job. So my job is to sacrificially care for my wife and my children. I believe if we did that, those things, then marriages would be stronger. We wouldn't be looking at this concerns about adultery. And of course, the other thing is, where are our boundaries? Where are our boundaries, men and women? Where are our boundaries? Do we have boundaries? Or do we get up to the line, and here's the line, and we see the line, and we put our toes on the line, and we peer over because there's Belinda and Brenda, and they're all looking good. You know, we'll spend, you know. And I think God's saying, actually, get back from the line. You've got troubles. I'm speaking to some of you today. I don't know who, but I'm speaking to some of you. Take a step back. Some of you, take two steps back. Take two steps back. Operate from there. When I became a Christian at the age of 24, I was a very liberal person. I was liberal about my behavior. I was liberal about other people's behavior. And I got married. And actually, I had to tighten up. I found it wasn't working for me. I had to tighten up my behavior. I had to have better boundaries about who I'm spending time with. Some of you got to tighten up. I don't know you, but I've Lord's had this on my heart all week. Some of you got to tighten up. Have some better boundaries. What else does he say? Jesus said, don't swear oaths. Just keep it simple. Be honest at all times. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Get in the habit of telling the truth at all times. Who's involved in business here? Just put up your hand. You involved in business? Yeah, just no? No one? No one's involved in business? No one? Yes, thank you. Some of you are. Some of you in the business world. Some of you prominent in the community. I noticed in the business world, and I didn't become a pastor till I was called to ministry at the age of 40. And so I was a long time in the secular world. And I used to be a recruitment consultant for a company called Clayton Ford in Wellington. We used to recruit accountants and finance people. And what I noticed, and I used to sit with other consultants, there was four of us, it was actually four men, and we were the permanent recruitment division. There was myself, this guy here, this guy here, this guy here. And so we could hear each other, what we're talking about, what we're saying to clients, all that kind of stuff. And what I found is that some consultants would tell what I would call little white lies. So if something went wrong, they'd say, oh, well, it was because of this, it was because of this. And I know that wasn't true. Or when they're doing a reference for someone, they would just soften it slightly. You know what I mean? They'd just make the person look a little bit better than they actually were. They'd just change a few little words. And the thing is, when you're like that, you've got to remember the lies that you've been saying to people. You've got to remember those half-truths. Whereas when you're honest, you just have to remember what happened and you just tell them, yeah? And so what I found, and you know, I was Christian, I tried to be as honest as I possibly could. When things went wrong, I went into what was called full grovel mode. I would say, I am so sorry. I talked to the client, you know, sometimes things go wrong. I am so sorry this happened, you know, and I just tell the truth. And what happens when you tell the truth and you have a habit of telling the truth, your clients, your people you work with know that you have the habit of telling the truth, that your yes is yes and your no is no. And so they understand that. And you get some credit for that. But if you're telling half-truths, then that starts to show up in your character, in your walk with the Lord. So let your yes be yes and your no be no. Young people, start now. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, a lot of people will go, oh, are you going to do that? And they'll go, sure. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. And you've got a sense they've got no intention of doing that. But they don't want to say no because that would just be a little bit upsetting. So they go, yeah, sure. When you know they've got no intention. So let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be the reliable one. Be the honest one. Be the one that tells the truth. You older ones, you be the set the example. Be the one that tells the truth. Let's have the truth all times. My father-in-law passed away at the age of 91, and he was an auditor. He rose to the position of, he started in the audit office as the guy that made the tea. You know, he's like 18. He's the guy that made the tea for everyone. And he rose to the position of deputy audit director. And he saw his job as safeguarding the interests of the New Zealand public, safeguarding the assets of the New Zealand public. And that's what he did. He was the honest guy in the room. And I know he was honest because, man, dealing with him as a son-in-law, you had to be spot on, you know what I mean? There was no shades of grey with Eddie, you know what I mean? It was just this or it was that, you know what I mean? There's no shades of grey. So he was a very honest man. But sometimes you need that. You need that. You got to have honesty. That can change a community. That can change a business world. Business doesn't operate without trust. Trust means you're honest. So let your yes be yes and your no be no. Young people, start today. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Sometimes people won't like that, but at least you're telling the truth. At least you're telling the truth before God. So let your yes be yes and your no be no. Jesus says, then go that extra mile to help people. Give generously. So that phrase, go the extra mile, comes from this. Comes from this. Go the extra mile. Give generously. And then he says something shocking. Love your enemies. Can I have that next slide, please? Love your enemies. Love those who are not easy for you to love. Don't be hating on people. Love people even if they don't love you back. There's a lot in this, isn't there? Going to follow Jesus, it's going to make you different from the world. Yeah? This is going to make you different from the world. Love your enemies. Man, how tough can that be? How tough can that be? But what it means is it means there's going to be a peaceful revolution in your heart and soul that you're no longer dictated to by outward circumstances because you have an ongoing commitment to love people no matter how they treat you. That your love for others, no matter how they treat you, as Jesus says in verse 46, if you just love those who love you, what reward will you get? Any old pagan or any old tax collector can do that. Don't just greet only your brothers or sisters. Even pagans do that. Greet those who are not your brothers. Greet those who you disagree with. Greet those whom it's hard for you to like. It's hard for you to like them. But greet them anyway. This was revolutionary thinking. This changed a nation. And this is hard. You're going to need Jesus. You're going to have to say, help me, Jesus. I'm dealing with great Aunt Matilda. And man, she is annoying and vexing at times. But I'm going to love her anyway. I'm dealing with my parents and my dad. He can be annoying and vexing at times. But I'm going to love him anyway. Because Jesus commands me to love those. Those who I find hard, those who are difficult, and particularly my father because he's close to me and it's hard because he expects things from me. It's hard. Some fathers are difficult. I know, having been a father for a while now, I know my children can find me vexing at times when I tell them to tidy their room. And was there a terrorist attack in your room, Rachel? Was someone throw a bomb in there? You know, she had like the floor storage system. You know what I mean? It's just things all round. I don't know if you any. And I thought girls were tidy. I did. Like my mother was tidy. My sister was tidy. My wife's tidy. And then I had this daughter who's just not tidy. You know what I mean? It's just, whoa. So I'm sure I must have vexed her on occasion. and her room's still not tidy. But she's left home now, so that's all good. But the world says different. But Jesus says, love your enemies, don't be hating on people. See, right now it's very fashionable to hate on people, on certain political figures, on social media. Like if I say the President of the United States, the current one, people love to hate him. They do. I was reading an opinion journalist in the Sunday paper, and he hates the president, current president. And his parents, his elderly parents in the rest home, they hate him too. You know, I think, whoa. And on social media, you can go and you can be anonymous and you can spew all this sort of stuff. And the world says, look, just love those people who are politically correct like you, have got the same opinions as you, and don't like anyone else. Hate them. And actually, Jesus says, love your enemies. Love those, even Americans who are loud and vexatious and narcissistic, etc. You still got to love them, you know? Still got to love them. Doesn't mean we are going to be haters. In fact, we're going to be on social media. We're going to be the positive ones. We're going to be the ones who love even those who we find hard to love. So don't be a hater on social media. If you're a hater, get off social media until you can be positive. Be a positive person on there. Here in New Zealand, we have our politicians, don't we? And some we love and some we don't love. But Jesus says, love them anyway. Don't hate on those leaders who govern us. Don't hate on them. Be positive. You see, fundamentally, we are spiritual people. Politics is not the be-all and end-all of life. Jesus is the be-all and end-all of life. Our faith in Christ is what defines us. You've got plenty to do following Jesus, all right? And so we don't have to separate ourselves into tribes based on politics or anything like that. We are to love others. We are not to be haters. We are to love even those we disagree with. And if you follow Jesus, it is demanding, but he is our source and our strength. We've got plenty to do following Jesus, amen? We've got plenty to do. You've got plenty to do following Jesus. All right, second point. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. Perfect. Whoa. Now that has a sense of maturity. Perfect has a sense of being mature in Christ. So we're moving towards maturity in Christ. That's what perfect is talking about. So as I'm on the journey, I'm on the journey of being a disciple of Jesus, and I'm here, and I realize that I'm not perhaps where I'd like to be, but I look back and I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. Amen? I'm not where I used to be. Who feels like that? You know, you're not where you used to be. Amen? You know, look, you know, there's a long way to go. A long way to go. But you look back and you think, wow, at least I'm not where I used to be. Amen? We're going forward in our faith as disciples of Jesus. And if you're new, that's awesome. That's awesome. You've got a wonderful journey ahead of you. But Jesus is with you all the way. Now, you're probably thinking, this is hard. I'm going to need supernatural assistance here. And that's true. You're going to need Jesus to help you with this. You're going to need Jesus to help you to love your enemies, to love your neighbor. Even that neighbor at 3 o'clock in the morning has got the stereo going boom, 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 boom. That one. You're going to have to love that one. Maybe you have to go and talk to that one even. You know, so it's that love of those neighbors, those around us. But we're going to need to ask Jesus for help. But what this does, it gives us permission not to be an angry, bitter, and vengeful person. It gives us permission to forgive others. It gives us freedom. You are free to love. You are free not to be a hater. You are free to forgive. It gives you freedom. Because what happens if you're a hater, if you're bitter and vengeful, if you're unforgiven? Unforgiveness. What's unforgiveness? See, unforgiveness is like drinking poison, saying, man, this is going to hurt that person. Here I'm drinking my poison, this is going to hurt. Man, they're going to be hurt by this. They're going to be hurt. No, no, no. We need to forgive. We need to forgive those. Forgive others. I had a guy come and talk to me a few years ago. I'll call him Trevor, not his name. And Trevor said, he'd be in his 20s, I suppose. And he said, man, I come to church, I'm not feeling anything. I'm angry, I'm bitter all the time. The church we went to in our previous town, the elders, they were mean to me and my parents. I haven't forgiven them. I'm angry with them. And I said to him, Trevor, I'm going to give you some homework. And the homework between now and this time next week is I want you to forgive them. I want you to put those elders in your minds, and I want you to forgive them all personally by name. Can you do that? He says, yeah. So I saw him the same time the following week. And he comes into my study, and he's a different guy. He's standing up, his eyes are bright. I've forgiven them. I've forgiven them. And his whole face changed because he'd let go. I've forgiven them. He'd let go of that bitterness. Maybe you're thinking of someone now. You're bitter towards them. Man, they've upset you. They've hurt you. Jesus is saying, forgive them. Forgive them. I tell you, with Trevor, it changed his whole Christian walk. He came to me and he said, oh, me and Mum, we want to come and worship at nighttime here in the church. Is that all right? I said, sure. And I'd go past sometimes after another meeting, the lights would be on, the two of them be worshiping in the church. His whole Christian faith changed because he forgave, those impediments went, and he started to love people and love Jesus again. Amen? So maybe for some of you, there's a bitterness. His bitterness. I believe the Lord's saying, let it go. Forgive them. Forgive them. Don't be holding on. We're going to need the Holy Spirit, aren't we, to do this? We're going to need the love of Jesus to do this, eh? We're going to need that. We've got to have help. We can't just do this humanly. I've got to have help to do this. But this is life-changing. See, all around the world, people don't do this. People don't do this. If you think of the Maori people in New Zealand prior to 1840, they had a principle called utu, which means revenge. Which means if someone from that tribe does something bad to me or my tribe, I have to get back at them for the honor of my tribe. So I have to get back at them to avenge that. And then they, in turn, get back at me. And then I, in turn, get back at them. And so you had a cycle of violence and warfare that went on and on and on. And over in England, and before there was an England, it was something similar. England was divided into little principalities and tribes, and they would fight each other. Northumbria would fight this one, and this one would fight that one. And you'd have the Vikings coming in and fighting everyone. In England, a guy called King Alfred the Great, came in, and he united everyone with forgiveness. The Vikings, he went and baptized them. He baptized all the Vikings, forgave them, and he baptized them. And then they'd go out and rebel, and he'd go and baptize them again. But eventually, peace came on the land, and England became a united one country under Christ. And here in New Zealand, on Christmas Day, 1814, Samuel Marsden goes to the Bay of Islands. Big crowd assembled to hear him speak. And on Christmas Day, he preaches the first gospel. First gospel message. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And he told them about Jesus. And that changed everything. He told them about forgiveness. He told them about love. And that changed everything. And now as a nation, we're at peace. And you can go from Kaitaia to the Bluff. There's no wars going on. We're united. But that love of Jesus flowed through. Maori people accepted Jesus in huge numbers. 1830s, 1840s, Fortunately, there was a war, which wasn't good, but there was an acceptance that changed a whole nation. This changes nations. This changes communities. You be the one to forgive. You be the one to love those around you. You be that person. These principles give us a moral framework to live in peace in our communities. These principles give us a moral framework to live in peace in our hearts. So your behavior is not conditional on how other people treat you. Your behavior is conditional on the love that you have for Jesus in your heart, and you might need to say, Jesus, give me more love. I got vexing people around me. I'm at school. Scott, you don't know what my classmates are like. They are so annoying. There's this boy sits behind me. He is so annoying. You're going to need supernatural love. Pray for that person. Forgive that person. Reach out to that person. This changes communities. This changes nations when we forgive our enemies. This was revolutionary stuff from Jesus. But you have permission to love. You have freedom to love. Don't just love those who love you. It's easy to do that, isn't it? Some people we find easy to love. But love even those who don't love you. Love even those who may be trialsome and vexing. Love even those. And yes, our faith is a supernatural faith because we can hear this in our heads. Yes, Scotty, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you. But in our heart, it's got to sink to our heart. It's got to sink into our spirit. We need to spend time with the Lord, letting this sink into our spirit, forgiving others, learning to love others, learning to trust others, putting down some of these barriers, trusting others and loving them. Justin Bieber, not someone I talk about very much, but he has a Christian faith that's been growing and on display. He used it to reach out and minister God's goodness to a British nation following a terror attack. You may remember a suicide bomber killed 22 people, many of them young people, attending an Ariana Grande concert in Manchester. And afterwards, they held a One Love Manchester concert on a Sunday night. And Grande returned to the stage to offer comfort to a city that was grieving. And she sang some upbeat and motivational pop anthems, and the audience cheered loudly for her. Katy Perry was there, and she sang some upbeat songs. And Justin Bieber also joined in to encourage the hurting, to raise money to help victims. But he also offered a message of faith as well. He said this, God is good in the midst of the darkness. God is good in the midst of the evil, Bieber told the massive crowd. God is in the midst, no matter what's happening in the world. God is in the midst, and he loves you, and he's here for you, he said. I just want to take this moment to honor the people that were lost, that were taken. We love you so much. To the families, we love you so much. He said, put both hands up to honor those people right now. And everybody say, we honor you, we love you. And the crowd thundered back, we honor you, we love you. And then after that, Bieber made a bold but simple declaration of faith on his Instagram page. All he said was, I follow Jesus. We're going to pray now. Worship band, can you come and help me up here? It would be great. We're going to pray now. Maybe there's some areas of your life. Maybe there's some people in your life that you need to forgive, that you need to love, that you need to reach out to. Maybe with your spouse there's some remedial work to be done. Wives, find something good to say about your husband today. Some of you are saying, oh man, that's hard. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. That's going to be a challenge. Husbands, love your wives more today. Love them today and tomorrow. Let them know how good looking they are. Let them know how much you honor them and value them. Can we do that first worship song we did? The worship bracket, the first one.
Jesus, I come.
That's the one? Yeah. All right, can we just stand, please, and I'm just going to pray for us. That'd be awesome. good. We come to you today, come to you with open hands and an open heart. Help us, Lord, to love others. Help us to love those around us. Help us to love our families for a start. Help us to love our wives, our husbands. Help us to love our children. Help us to love our parents. At work, help us to love those at work. Help us to reach out to them. In our communities, in our groups. Change us, Lord. Change our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, we need supernatural assistance to do this, Lord. So we're asking for revelation. We're asking for comfort. We're asking you to pour your love down on us today. Pour your love into us, Lord Jesus. I pray for the young people over here, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd bring them good companions, good friends, and you'd pour your love down on them, Lord. Protect them and look after them and bring them at the right time, the right life partner, Lord. But Lord, help us. Help us to love as you loved. You poured your rain down on the righteous and the unrighteous. Lord Jesus, you loved us enough that you died for us. So help us. In Jesus' name. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen.